Which second-year players will break out in 2015? We'll talk about Jamie Eisenberg's breakouts right now on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. What's up, fellas?
3 weeks, Adam.
What, till the draft?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's going to be a special day for a lot of people.
Okay. Are you excited about it, Jamie?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you get an influx of talent. We'll see where some of these prospects land, so it should be fun.
Going to be a great day for running backs, hopefully. Should be. Maybe.
Well, okay, so I'm excited about talking about it on this podcast after. But I'm not a huge NFL draft guy. Are you guys like big NFL draft junkies, sit on the couch, watch all day? Dave, I think you like to listen to the radio.
I do.
It's kind of our job, so I think
well,
we're stuck.
Well, no, because you could. Well, you don't need to watch the draft to follow the draft, do you?
Well, follow, yes. Watch, no.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, does it matter if you to know when the pick comes in? You could easily review the picks, right?
Well, of course.
We do a draft show here at CBSSports.com that we're kind of a part of.
Okay, well, I wasn't aware of the plans. What are the plans, Jamie?
I don't know either.
All right.
What are the plans? It's going to be a live draft show on CBSSports.com that'll be totally different than everything else that's out there, and lots of fantasy takes and instant analysis and other cool stuff.
Actually, it was a really cool show last year, and I did not host all of it. But so just speaking about the Saturday show that I wasn't on, because I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, Will Brinson was hosting that, and you guys were on it, and Prisco was on it, Rob Rang, NFL draft expert, was on it, and it was really cool. So I do encourage everyone to go to the website, and like, they're not necessarily going to break down picks that you don't really care about. They're going to talk about NFL topics, and it's like an NFL radio show almost on the web. Is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah, there'll be, as Dave said, there'll be fantasy, instant fantasy analysis, not just from what happens on Saturday, but what has happened from the first 3 days. The other guys will be grading the teams as a result of their picks. As a matter of fact, Pete Prisco just did his 3-year review of the 2012 draft class. Can you guess which team he went from a C- to an A+ on?
Russell, Seahawks.
There you go. Good. Good for Pete.
Yeah, there you go.
Good for him.
That draft was
ridiculous for Seattle.
Yeah, of course.
I heard Jamie say, as a matter of fact, and...
yeah, I think he was taking a dig at me.
That was pretty messed up.
No.
Okay. I am a matter of fat.
Anyway, email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Today we're talking breakouts. We'll get to that in a little bit. I asked you guys on Twitter who you think will break out in 2015, so we'll read some of those and your emails.
Did you go to the opener of the Yankees game?
Yes, I did.
Did you sit next to anything interesting?
Let's tell everybody about it.
Okay, so I'm sitting at the Yankees game, and a guy next to me just starts flossing. Right before the first pitch, just starts flossing.
You mean you don't like it when somebody sitting next to you starts flossing?
And you have a lot more room between you and Dave at your desks than I did to the guy next to me at the game.
What are you implying?
Oh, I already know where this is going, and it's quite funny. But I think flossing in public is wrong.
I am guilty of it. I recently had some gum surgery and started doing some extra flossing in my day, and it happened to be at the office. And at one point, I asked Jamie.
No, first you did it.
First I did it, yeah. And then after a couple of days I realized, well, maybe I should just ask him if this is like
something normal. Well, you didn't ask me, yes.
You were part of the group that I asked.
Yes.
And you made it clear that you were uncomfortable with it.
I didn't say uncomfortable, I said it was gross.
And so I've stopped since.
That's good.
I'm definitely not doing it at a Yankees game next to a cat-loving, hairy man-boy.
So, did you ask to borrow some floss,
Adam, to choke him out?
Absolutely not. So... here's a question I got on Twitter, actually, as I tweeted that, somebody was flossing. Somebody said, what's closer, flossing in the office or clipping your fingernails in the office?
We have a couple of people guilty of that in our office.
Not me. Just make it clear that that's not me.
No one that anybody would know.
Well, what's grosser?
I'm going to go with the nails because I did the flossing. And obviously, I didn't think the flossing
was that gross. Visibly is worse. The nails audibly is worse.
Yeah, it's true.
that sound of the clipping is terrible.
Because you know what's happening.
Yeah. I think,
and you know, sometimes your nail will clip off and it'll fly a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's gross.
Just imagine if, like, you know, a piece of toenail gets hit.
That toenails, Dave. Just fingernails here.
Hey, you know, we got a lot of interesting people at the office.
Here's our email of the day. It's from Pete F. from Tinton Falls, New Jersey. Pete is a chronic fingernail clipper at the office. He says, "Dear Isaiah, Donnie, and Phil," I expect Jamie to get this one. All right, we'll come back to
Knicks.
It. Yeah, Knicks executives. With the NFL draft just about a month away, which upcoming draftee at all offensive skill positions will likely have an immediate positive impact in the upcoming fantasy football season? I know these things are hard to predict, such as last year's surge and dominance of Odell Beckham Jr. Who saw that coming? All right, so let's start with a quarterback. Who's going to have the biggest immediate impact?
So hard to say until we know where they're going to play.
Well, you know where Jameis is going. He's going to Tampa Bay.
Probably. And does that mean Mariota is going to Tennessee? I guess by default, then, I would say Jameis.
I would say Jameis because I think he has the easiest chance to play right away. Mariota could still go somewhere where he doesn't.
Running back.
I still think it's Gurley, even though with the ACL.
I'll go with Gordon because I think he'll play more games.
Wide receiver.
Kevin White.
That one's going to be dependent on team more than anything else. I will not say White.
And
I might say Devontae Parker. Because I think Devontae Parker, while he's not necessarily the best receiver in the draft, I think he's the one who is the second most ready besides Cooper. But Cooper's pretty good too. They're pretty much my 1 and 1A. Nah, 1-2.
So Cooper, because Kevin White had this amazing combine and is a freak, I feel like people are going to underestimate Amari Cooper, but he is so good.
He really is. He does a lot of the little things well.
And Dave, you said it. It's going to depend a lot on where they get drafted, you know, which team takes them. So of the teams you guys could see grabbing an elite wide receiver, which team would have the most impact on a player's value? Like, obviously, the Dolphins would be better than the Raiders for a lot of guys. You know what I mean? Which team is the best landing spot?
That, I mean, we can just say Green Bay or Indianapolis, but those teams probably aren't looking at a wide receiver.
Well, no, you were saying the teams that are taking wide receivers.
Yeah, yeah. The realistic teams.
How about Philadelphia?
If they go receiver.
If they stay at 20, I think they might go receiver.
But who's going to be there for them, though? That's the question. Because you have to assume that White, Cooper, and Parker are gone.
Green Beckham is a real interesting
receiver. He is, but
is he
the type of receiver that Chip Kelly looks for?
He loves big guys, so I'll say yes.
Well, LeSean McCoy would say he's too much of a star, so no. Thank you. Okay, just give me a team, just other than Philadelphia.
Well, I think Miami would be good. I mean, I think you're going to see them probably settle for Devontae Parker. Because he'll be the third best one there.
Say where? They're Baltimore.
Baltimore, okay.
The football club in Baltimore, Maryland called the Ravens, Adam. They've won a couple of Super Bowls.
They got Indianapolis?
Blacko guy.
How about tight end?
I don't think any of them make an impact this year.
It's not that type of group.
It's just Max Williams, right?
Yeah, Clive Walford.
Yeah, your kid from Miami is not bad.
Yeah. Williams, I feel like.
Tight end, you.
Cut above, no? According to all the rankings?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll see where they end up, and we'll have plenty of NFL draft to talk about. Injuries, news, and notes. LeGarrette Blount suspended for one game for violating the league's substance abuse policy. Any impact here, guys?
I think their starter's not on their roster for week one.
You think they'll draft someone?
It'd be interesting if
someone will emerge.
If somehow Gordon or Gurley, if one of them somehow made it to 32, I wonder if they would consider them there. They probably wouldn't because I think they subscribe to the find a back however you can and put them on your roster. I think, Lawrence Maroney was the last time that Belichick will ever take a running back in the first round.
He likes Blount. I mean, you know, that's the type of running back that he likes. He goes north-south. He doesn't dance. Doesn't fumble.
Not a playmaker, though. Not explosive.
AFC Championship and Super Bowl victory in consecutive seasons when he's been on the roster.
Because of LeGarrette Blount?
Has he hurt them?
No.
And that's what he looks for. He looks for a guy who doesn't hurt them.
He doesn't mind a running back who could make some plays, too.
Yeah, he had that in Reen. That's what they have to replace.
NFL.com reports Adrian Peterson will probably not face an additional suspension this year.
Just let him play already.
They
take him off the exempt list and let him play.
Well, I hope they find
him.
Isn't that hard? He didn't lose any salary last year. He should at least be fined.
Fine. Fine him $250 and let him play.
Yeah, that'll do it. Sammy Watkins had hip surgery, guys. What do you think about that?
I don't like it. I mean, this has not been a good offseason for him with the coaching change to Rex Ryan, who's got a run-based background, with Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator, who's going to want to run the ball. With the hip surgery, it's not like they went out and got a great quarterback. They got Matt Castle. So for a guy that's coming off of a good rookie season, not a great rookie season, I don't see him getting dramatically better. I said this last week, too. I just don't see him as anything more than right around a top 20 type receiver. I don't think he even creeps into the top 15.
Is he a settle for?
Absolutely. I'm not reaching for Sammy Watkins. I'd rather have Julian Edelman.
I agree.
Would you rather have Jarvis Landry or Sammy Watkins?
I still think Watkins is more explosive. So as long as he's healthy, I'll take Watkins.
How about Andre Johnson or Watkins?
Still same, Watkins.
I'd have to check my rankings to see where I have him, but I think they'll be very close. I might have Watkins just on the upside, Adam.
You know, we talk about Andre Johnson so much. I feel like I'm never going to draft him. I feel like he's going to go earlier than I'm comfortable taking Andre Johnson.
We're talking like round five for him.
Yeah, and I feel like there are so many possibilities with him, and there's just a lot of upside but a lot of risk with Johnson, and I'd love to do a mock draft. I'm assuming we'll do one after the NFL draft, but I just don't know that I'm going to be willing to pull the trigger on Andre.
It just depends where he falls to you, though.
Yeah, don't you feel like, you know how you say with DeMarco Murray, he's going to get taken before you're comfortable. Don't you feel like Andre Johnson's going to be like a trendy?
No, I still think there's people who got burned by Andre Johnson last year. They're going to let him go no matter the fact that he's with the Colts now. So
it only takes one, though.
Oh, no, look, it's going to be, you know, case dependent, because you're talking about once you get past really the top 12 to 14 receivers, then it becomes a group of, okay, I love the upside of Jordan Matthews. I love the upside of Brandon Cooks. You mentioned Andre Johnson. You're still looking at Roddy White and Edelman and these guys that you kind of know what to expect from them. And then you factor in Watkins and Keenan Allen and these guys, and I think it's just going to depend on, you know, really personal choice. But, you know, Brandon Marshall's in the same kind of situation as Andre Johnson. You know, a guy that you know, a guy that you think you could depend on. Change of team, will that help or hurt him? In Andre Johnson's case, you'd probably say yes. In Brandon Marshall's case, you'd probably say no.
More news and notes. The Dolphins are looking at some wide receivers. They have reportedly met with Wes Welker and Greg Jennings. Fred Jackson. And oh, yeah. Okay. So I think they're better off just drafting one. But they obviously are interested in receivers.
Well, what would you say is better? Let's say it's Parker. Would you go Parker, Landry, and Rashard Matthews, or would you go Parker, Landry, and Greg Jennings?
Parker, Landry, Jennings.
Yeah, so I don't think it's a bad idea for them to bring in a veteran. Greg Jennings makes a lot of sense because of the history with Joe Philbin in Green Bay.
He's a quick fit for the offense.
All right, Fred Jackson recovering from some surgery. Do we know what it was? Was it gum surgery? Is he flossing?
I don't know what it is. Do you, Jamie?
No, I don't believe it's been reported. You know, Buffalo has a lot of news because they've already had their first off-season workout program, their first OTA. So that's why you're hearing about Watkins and Jackson and Percy Harvin coming out and saying he's going to be the most dominant receiver in the history of the NFL. So there's a lot of stuff coming out of Buffalo just because they've been on the field.
ESPN reports Cleveland has mostly moved on from Johnny Manziel. If you're in a dynasty league and you own Johnny Manziel, do you think he is droppable?
No,
not yet. Okay. I think once he loses the job as expected to Josh McCown, and if you need a roster spot to pick somebody else up, you know, whether it's in your rookie draft or there's a free agent that you want in your dynasty league, then you can move on from him. But what do you expect from him at this point in his career? Is he going to all of a sudden turn into a startable fantasy quarterback?
At this point in his career, he's in his second year.
Don't you think someone would pick him up off the scrap heap?
Oh, I'm not saying that he's somebody that you should consider cutting, but if you have a move to make and he's the most cuttable guy on your roster, then I would cut him.
Mm-hmm.
And Cincinnati signed wide receiver Denarius Moore. And who's going to get Rob Gronkowski's autobiography, It's Good to Be Gronk?
Mr. and Mrs. Gronkowski, his parents.
All of New England will get it.
Yeah,
every Patriot.
80% of the New England area.
Actually, I'm not going to lie. I think when I saw him partying on that boat, I thought to myself, I think I might have even said it's good to be Gronk. Like he seems like he has the coolest life ever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
So I'm not going to get the book, though. Just want to clarify.
Get up there with Martha Stewart, I'd say. They both live hard.
JB's breakouts. Jamie, are you watching Better Call Saul? I know Dave isn't.
No.
It's good.
What's
you should
Better
watch
Call
it.
Saul?
Oh, come on.
I'm kidding.
Jamie's breakouts. Let's look at the running backs. We got Jeremy Hill, Carlos Hyde, Latavius Murray, Trey Mason, and Isaiah Crowell. Jeremy Hill, Carlos Hyde, Latavius Murray, Trey Mason, and Isaiah Crowell. Who excites you the most, Jamie Eisenberg? Jeremy Hill.
That didn't sound like Jamie.
Hill, I think, just takes another step with, you know, a full workload, whereas here he, you know, really didn't get that full workload until the midpoint of the season when Giovanni Bernard got hurt. Carlos Hyde, I just wrote the 49ers outlooks for our site, and I'm really excited about, you know, he's got to replace Frank Gore's 255 carries. Gore basically averaged 16 carries a week last year, and I think the fit is very good for him with some of the new wrinkles they're going to add. I think with Kaepernick running a little bit more, that'll open up some running lanes for Hyde as well. The one concern would be, Adam, and you bring this up a lot, is he's not going to catch a ton of passes because of Reggie Bush now. So I think if he gets into the 20s as a receiver, you'll be happy about that.
Who doesn't excite you, Dave? Anyone on that list? Hill, Hyde, Murray, Mason, Crowell.
Crowell. He's my least favorite on the list.
Adam. Oh, why? Ouch.
I think that he's going to split with Terrence West. I don't think the job is his. He's probably going to be the goal line back for them to start the year. But that team is going to be playing from behind so much with a new offensive coordinator, with, you know, a new quarterback. The receivers there aren't great, to say the least. I don't see Isaiah Crowell breaking out and having a big year, even with that offensive line.
Well, let me ask something.
Go ahead.
What's different from a year ago?
Nothing. So if I get what I got from Crowell a year ago.
No, but about the team, because they really weren't playing from behind a lot. They were in a lot of competitive games. They surprised a lot of people by winning a lot of games with a worse quarterback situation.
And Crowell didn't play in all those games.
No, but when he did play, he was very good.
He was good.
And I think with the, you know, getting the offensive line back healthy is only going to make that team run the ball better, because we saw what they were able to do running the ball early in the year when they were healthy. Now, Ben Tate was a, you know.
He started the year, and then they went to West, and then it got very mixed up from there.
Yeah, I think Carell's going to be one of those good value picks next year, because people are going to think exactly like Dave is, which is Cleveland's terrible, which they probably are. But
then what round are you saying?
Oh, I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy that's going to be ranked in our top 24, most likely barring the rookies. You know, so let's just say top 30 to ballpark it. He's going to be somewhere in that round 7 range, and I think he's going to end up as great value.
I feel like people are going to take him before round 7.
Well, I think he went around 5 in our last mock
draft.
Right,
I think that's
that
where
was
people
without
are take
the rookies.
Him.
So you're talking about a running back group that was pretty poor. So let's say round 6.
I'll take him in round 7. In round 6, probably not.
Okay.
Do you know how many yards per carry Crowell averaged with Alex Mack healthy?
It was close to 5, wasn't it?
I'll give you multiple choice. A, 4.8. B, 5.4. C, 5.6.
He hesitated before B, so I don't think it's B. I'll say A, 4.8.
Yeah, I thought it was 4.7.
It is 5.4.
Oh, B. It is. The hesitation.
Got him with the hesitation move. I thought that was a really cool stat. He averaged 5.4 yards per carry when Alex Mack was healthy. He did fumble 3 times in 148 carries, though. That's something to be considered.
Yep.
I just think it's going to be a mess in Cleveland.
And Latavius Murray, Trey Mason, Carlos Hyde, we talked about. All right, here's something I have on Mason. Tell me what you guys make of it. 6 games against the NFC West. He scored 5 fantasy points, 14, 6, 7, 1, and 4. Now let's get rid of the first one, the 5 fantasy points against San Francisco. I think he had 5 carries in that game. So 14 against Seattle, 6 at San Fran, 7 at Arizona, 1 against the Cardinals, 4 at Seattle. That's Trey Mason in 5 games against the NFC West. Is that a concern for you?
Well, the concern would be is that I'll broaden it a little bit, because you sort of touched on it for a second without knowing it, is he was great at home last year and terrible on the road. And so the Seattle game at home, was kind of indicative of the way that he played. Because you look at his home versus road splits, he was bad. So like, the Arizona game at home was, you know, probably, I think, closer to what you would have expected last year just based on the defenses that he was facing. San Francisco's run defense is going to be a little bit worse just because of the guys that they have to lose, two middle linebackers in the course of the same offseason, especially the two guys that they did lose. Even getting a healthy Navarro Bowman back, assuming he's healthy, that defense isn't going to be the same. I think Mason, you know, you just got to understand what he is. You know, he's going to be heavily involved on offense this year. You got to hope that the offensive line is somewhat better. You got to hope that the quarterback situation is better. I mean, think about who was, you know, under center for him when he finally got the opportunity. It was miserable. So if they're passing,
going to be better. I don't think it's going to be better.
With Nick Foles compared to Austin Davis and Sean Hill, I think it's better.
It's better.
I don't think it's like a significant upgrade.
Well, look, in theory, it should be. Whether it plays itself out, we'll figure that out.
I'm not convinced that he's... I mean, no, he's probably a better home than road guy. I think maybe it's a coincidence where some of the matchups were harder at home on the road than they were at home. But no, I'll give it to you. I will not contest. You make a good point there. So, would you guys rather have Mason or Crowell?
Mason.
Mason or Latavius Murray?
I go back and forth on it. I don't like the fact that Jack Del Rio is saying that Trent Richardson has an opportunity to compete for the job. And I don't think that they're done adding to their backfield either.
Right. If he doesn't add to the backfield, then I feel a lot better about Latavius Murray and where I have him ranked. And I've got him 19th among running backs.
Got a lot of wide receiver breakouts. Brandon Cooks, Jordan Matthews, Dante Moncrief, Martavis Bryant, and Davante Adams. Brandon Cooks, Jordan Matthews, Dante Moncrief, Martavis Bryant, and Davante Adams. Right now, your favorite of that group is who?
It's Matthews, and it's not close. And I actually wrote this before free agency, so this was with the thought that he was the number two guy there, you know, that they were going to bring back Macklin. But I really like Jordan Matthews. I think you're going to see him. I mean, think about the number one receiver for the Eagles the last 2 years. DeSean Jackson had a career season 2 years ago. Jeremy Macklin, career season last year. Matthews is, in my opinion, undeniably the number one guy there, and will be, no matter, unless they somehow manage to, you know, move up to the top five and, you know, take either Cooper or White. I'd still take Matthews as the number one guy there, but it would be a little bit less of a luster. So I'm struggling with how high to put Matthews. But I really like him a lot. I think he's got easily top 20, top 15.
He's been my guy for a while. I think it is extremely close between Matthews and Cooks. I've got him 21st and 22nd in my rankings. And I moved Cooks up recently because I think that he could be a five-catch-a-game type of receiver. That's pretty much what he was indoors last year. He was playing a lot, and the Saints are playing a lot indoors this year. No Jimmy Graham, no Kenny Stills. The targets are going to open up. Cooks is the number two wide receiver, but I still like Matthews better because I think he's going to be extremely versatile in that offense, and I think he's going to pick up a bunch of touchdowns.
Martavis Bryant, very interesting. Man, was he awesome when he first started playing. His first four games, he was a beast. He scored 10, 20, 16, and 20 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in his first four games. Then in Bryant's last six games, he only had two touchdowns. And he never had more than five catches in a game. He had only one catch in three of his last five games. So it was a perplexing season, I guess, for Martavis Bryant. I never draft these big boom or bust guys. Do you think there'll be more consistency from Bryant in year two?
He'll play more. I mean, that's the key is I think they're done with the Marcus Wheaton experiment. You look at what this offense is and what Roethlisberger has been the last 2 years. He's been, you know, nothing short of spectacular throwing the ball. I think he's an easy top 10 fantasy quarterback. And the reason is because of his weapons. I mean, Antonio Brown is amazing. Le'Veon Bell is a stud. Heath Miller is just, you know, a steady weapon for him. And then Bryant, to me, is kind of the type of guy that puts this offense over the top. You know, he's if he can develop his route tree a little bit, which I think is key for him, you know, just from where he was last year, you know, just running basically straight down the field. Roethlisberger has said throughout the course of his career, it's why he always wanted and was upset when Plaxico Burress left. He always wanted him back. He likes a big red zone target, and I think Bryant will still continue to be a deep threat for him, but also you'll see some, you know, plays in the red zone, especially at the line of scrimmage, or at the goal line, excuse me. So I would not be surprised if he's an 8-plus touchdown guy with the chance to be close to 1,000 yards. I just feel like there's a lot of upside with him. And Adam, to your point, he's very much gonna feel like a Torrey Smith type of guy. You know, that the touchdowns will have to sort of save him a little bit. But I just like this offense. I really think Roethlisberger, the way he's throwing two seasons, is really going to help Martavis Bryant develop.
He's probably the safest number three fantasy receiver out there this year, in that you can get him, and I think he's got the potential to be a top 15 fantasy receiver. When
you
it's
do,
all
huh?
I really do. I think last year, and I think it's just based on opportunity, Adam. I think that the targets are going to go up for him, and I don't think that the ratio of catches to touchdowns is going to keep up for him, but I think it's going to be very hard for defenses to keep up with him and Brown and Le'Veon Bell and receiver X, whether it's Marcus Wheaton or somebody else, in Pittsburgh. I think it's going to be very difficult. I think the Steelers' offense is really going to pop this year.
You know what's interesting? I was just thinking about this as Dave was talking. You've had a pretty good trend of Hines Ward sort of still being good, and then Mike Wallace kind of taking over, and then Wallace being good, and Antonio Brown kind of taking over. And Brown now, you know, I don't think he's going to, you know, slow down anytime soon. But they've been good at sort of developing that second guy, even Emmanuel Sanders, you know, just developing that second guy to sort of elevate to a next level, and a good progression too.
Yeah, you know, but did they have that second guy while the first guy was still at the top of his game?
No, that's what I'm saying. This is kind of maybe more unique situation where, you know, well, I would say Mike Wallace was very good with the Steelers, you know, before he left. You know, he was ascending too, and I think that's what the Dolphins thought when they paid him. He was ascending too, you know, what you would consider to be one of the elite level receivers. He just never developed.
But wasn't he like the number one guy? Or was it still Hines Ward at that point?
No, I'm saying when Wallace left the Steelers before Brown.
But what I'm saying is he was in a completely different situation than Martavis Bryant is in. There's still Antonio Brown there.
And like, Wallace was like the third guy.
No, when Hines Ward was ready to move on, retire.
Wallace became the number one receiver on the team, right? Like the alpha male?
Mm-hmm.
Bryant's obviously not that.
No, that's not my point, though. It's just kind of they've done a very good job of developing a second guy. It hasn't been just one guy and done.
Yeah.
They've done a good job of, over the last several seasons, over Roethlisberger's tenure, mm-hmm. of developing a second guy to sort of help take the pressure off the first guy.
Yeah,
I think
like
Bryant's
Burris?
Got the potential, Adam. I think he's got the potential to be that type of receiver eventually.
I'm just wondering if he stays in that role of averaging 20 yards per catch and having huge games and disappearing. And you know, how many catches is he going to have? You know, he had 26 catches last year. Okay, that's going to go up. But is he going to have more than 50?
He could be around 50.
Yep. He could. Listen, the way that they can move that ball around, 65, over 1,000 yards. Maybe not 8 touchdowns.
That seems like he's going to, and I'm not saying this can't happen, but that seems like if he reaches that he will evolve into a more complete wide receiver rather than being just a deep
right.
vertical threat.
Right. I'd like to see some reports this summer about him improving. Coaches, you know, calling him out for being a more complete receiver. If we hear that, then I almost think you make it a point to draft him.
I did talk to Marquise Pouncey this offseason, and I asked him about Bryant, and he said he's never seen a human being so fast.
Really?
Yeah. My concern about him is whether or not he can develop physically and mentally. Like, can he sprint down the field and catch a ball over his shoulder? Yes.
Think about
can
also,
he do a double move? Can he beat press coverage?
What do you think this team's going to look like if Le'Veon Bell suspended for 4 games? The D'Angelo Williams show or the Ben Roethlisberger show?
Are you asking me?
No, I mean, just in general.
It makes me sad to think about Le'Veon being out for 4 games.
Well, if that happens, I mean, I don't think anybody suspected LeGarrette Blount to be suspended. So, you know, you're talking about a situation where, let's say it's 2 games. They're not going to say, okay, we're going to go through D'Angelo Williams and see how our offense looks. It's going to be, you know, one of those situations where Roethlisberger's probably coming out of the gate, throwing the ball 40-plus times, and that's going to mean, I would assume, probably somewhere close to double digits in targets for Martavis Bryant.
I don't know if this stat means anything to you. I'm looking it up as we speak here. Only one of the top 15 wide receivers in standard scoring leagues last year had fewer than 71 catches, and that was Mike Evans, who had 68 catches and finished as the number 10 wide receiver. Evans had 12 touchdowns. Let's see, only five of the top 24 had less than 70 catches, and none had fewer than 56. DeSean Jackson was the only one who had fewer than 67, it seemed, or 65, and then he had 56.
Well, I think if we were counting on Bryant to be in that group, we would have him ranked there. So there's a reason why he's in the 30s. And Dave said, you know, I don't know if I agree that he's the safest number three receiver, but I think he might have the most upside of the number three receiver group. So, you know, you're taking him to be one of your top reserves. And if he materializes into something better than that, then, you know, you have one of the steals of the draft. But if you understand that he's still going to be a second-year guy, we'll see how this group, you know, this whole rookie class goes into their second year. Dave did a good breakdown of it, so you should check that out. And just, I like the offense. I like the fit. I like the player. So,
was not trying to disagree. Just wanted to bring some.
No, it's all valid.
Travis Kelce, breakout tight end. You know, we've spoken a lot about him, so I'm going to skip him. And I'm going to say this. Why isn't DeAndre Hopkins on this breakout list?
Because I think he broke out already.
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah.
He finished.
Look at his stats.
17th or so.
Yeah, over 1,200 yards receiving.
And six touchdowns. Like,
tons of catches.
Is he a 1,510 type guy?
He could be if there was a better quarterback there.
1,510 would be like a ridiculous year. Maybe
I think Arian Foster would have to get trapped in somebody's basement for that to happen.
Well, I mean, you think about it.
Because that's a team that likes to run.
It's a different system, different coach. But think about when Foster and Andre Johnson were both at their best. And I don't know if that ever actually happened, where Andre Johnson, because he was, you know, starting to get hurt when Foster was emerging. But Johnson's best years were, you know, 1,500 and like 8 or 9. And so I could see Hopkins doing that if there was, you know, something of a little bit more stability at quarterback. But, you know, are you trusting Ryan Mallett to make DeAndre Hopkins better?
Or Brian Hoyer.
So here's a trivia question for you as I'm having fun with our stats page. Of the top 11 wide receivers in standard scoring leagues, only one of them caught fewer than 9 touchdowns. Can you name that wide receiver?
Top 10?
Top 11.
Top 11? Fewer than 9.
Mm-hmm.
This is the weird part of the podcast where we just sit here in silence.
That's okay. The listeners are thinking about it too.
Was it Calvin?
He will likely be a second round pick. No, Calvin did not finish that high.
AJ Green?
No. One more guess.
Jordy?
Julio Jones.
Julio Jones.
Almost 1,600 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, he's so good.
Yeah.
Foster had big years in 2010, 2011, and 2012. And specifically 2012, Andre Johnson had almost 1,600 yards and 4 touchdowns. 2010, 13 games, 86 catches, 12-16, and 8 touchdowns. And then in 2011, that was the year of the infamous hamstring injury, and he missed 9 games, which opened the door for Arian Foster to rack up lots of work, which he did.
If you are sitting at home going, say, Adam, what did the people on Twitter have to say about 2015 breakouts? It's time to answer that question.
What if people are jogging?
Or driving their car?
Yeah.
Or milking a cow at their farm.
Then this doesn't pertain to them. So, Twitter break. What? That caught my attention. What did you say?
Something you have to bleep out.
Come on, really? Why did you say that? No, you know what? I'm leaving it in. And if
okay.
I don't think
anybody's upset about that.
All right, good. I'm not either. By the way, what kind of a bee makes milk? Jamie just answered it 3 times, just so you get the punchline of that joke. James Bushel says Theo Riddick and Tyler Eifert are breakouts this year. I think we had Riddick as a sleeper last week, Jamie.
Yeah, yep. Riddick is a definite sleeper, and Eifert, we're just waiting for him to stay healthy, waiting for Andy Dalton to turn into a good quarterback. Maybe it's sour grapes hearing it from me, but I don't see him breaking out.
Brock Buchanan, I want it to be Bishop Sankey, but I don't see that happening, sadly. So Kelvin Benjamin, Sammy Watkins, and Josh Hill are breakouts.
Hill, I think, been more of a sleeper. as we talked about last week.
Hasn't Kelvin kind of broken out already?
It's going to be hard for Benjamin to get better, but I
it's possible he could.
His catches and yards can go up.
And Watkins we addressed.
We did.
Going to be tough. What about Sankey?
You know, after hearing what Ken Whisenhunt said, I think it will come down to personnel. If they don't add else, and you're still talking about Sankey, Sean Green, and Dexter McCluster as their top three guys, then there's you know, nobody's going to draft Sankey with any level of confidence. He'll be somebody you settle for. But he should get more work. You know, he'll have a full offseason. I think that's something that we probably overlook a little too much is the lack of offseason for some of these rookies. Now, you could counter that with Odell Beckham, didn't have a lot of an offseason program and missed the first four games and was obviously a superstar. But, you know, I think with some of these guys, the especially the guys that go long in college because of the rules and they can't get to their first minicamp, it probably is a little bit of a factor.
Matt Ryan will break out, according to Jake Ash.
I feel like he's broken out already. You know, if you're calling for a career year for Matt Ryan, if that's the point of this.
Yes, sure.
It's possible. Knowing Kyle Shanahan, how much he wants to run the ball or throw the ball, and what the Falcons currently have at running back as we sit here today, Matt Ryan might need to do a lot of passing. And I will like it.
KRS, starting Dallas Cowboys running back will break out.
It's a fair point. I mean, the offensive line is great. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do. You know, from still the Adrian Peterson rumor being out there to, you know, Gurley or Gordon. I think we could safely sit here and say it's not going to be a Darren McFadden, Joseph Randall duo. Although, if they don't address running back early in the draft and they get somebody that's not better than McFadden and McFadden somehow wins the job, it's going to be really interesting to see how owners approach Darren McFadden on draft day.
Would you take Darren McFadden or Bishop Sankey if he's the primary running back?
McFadden.
I would too.
How about Trey Mason or McFadden?
Mace.
Man, I want to say Mason, but it's going to be so appealing to see whoever's the starter there. It depends what else they have. You know, if they don't anything and they say, you know, McFadden's really impressed us in OTAs and we like Joseph Randall and his, you know, thievery and Dunbar, you know, maybe they sign Ridley and see how that goes. It's going to be hard to overlook.
I would cringe.
Yeah, it's
I would be a scared little child in a room full of Adam Azers.
That offensive line's great, though.
In a room full of Adam Azers?
Yeah. Can't leave children around you.
Why not?
Because you love to quote bad movies and eat terrible things.
And finally, Brian Silkowski says Seth Rollins will be a breakout this year. And I had to look this one up, Dave. Come on, talk.
What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say?
I want you to talk. Seth Rollins, that's your thing.
He's the current WWE World Heavyweight Champion. He's from Iowa.
Didn't we talk about you not leaving me hanging and making me look like a moron on the podcast? Wasn't that a discussion we once had? Oh, come on. Okay.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Please put football podcast in the subject line. Hey, guys, how's your fantasy baseball team doing?
So far, so good.
With a capital A.
Better than the one that Jimmy and I share?
Well, we're doing all right.
Yeah, we're doing very well. We're the best.
We're going to beat Scott Fitzgerald in one of our matchups.
We're playing him?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we're going to crush him. I know he's in the room right now. I don't even care. Here's our first email. It is from David from a city of Dave's choice.
We're going to go with Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
David from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Dear Twinkie, Ho-Ho, and Ding-Dong.
Finally, language I can understand.
Three snacks that are best served from the freezer.
I've never had them from the freezer. Have you, James?
What did you say it was?
Have you ever had a frozen Twinkie?
No.
How about a frozen
Ho-Ho or a Ding-Dong?
No. Good.
Frozen Ding-Dong? Really good. That's what I've been told.
Frozen, any frozen candy.
How did
is
I
good.
Get this fat without doing that?
First time the word frozen Ding-Dong has been used on the show.
Are any of you in a JB, man, R-rated JB today. Are any of you in a keeper or auction league, a keeper/auction league? If so, can you mention how you handle the keepers and their values?
Yeah, this is real simple. If you have a player on your team that you want to keep in an auction league, whatever you paid for him last year is taken out of your budget this year.
Well, do you like to make it like it increases by $5 or something?
Yeah, you could do something like that. That would return eight players into the talent pool.
It would prevent...
That's the equivalent, Adam, of if I keep a player in round five 1 year, then the next year he's going to cost me a third-round pick, and then the year after that he's going to cost me a first-round pick.
Yeah, I think it would also prevent people from keeping Odell Beckham Jr. for like the next 10 years
right.
for $0 or $1 or whatever.
The other alternative you could do, and I've done this before in fantasy leagues, is everybody gets auctioned again. But if you had every player that you had on your team last year, you can match whatever the final bid is at the end of the auction. So if I had Odell Beckham on my team last year, he still gets auctioned normally to everybody in the league. But let's say the final bid comes in at $25 on a $100 budget. If I want to, I can match that price and put him back on my team. So I kind of have that right as his owner from a year before.
Here's an email from Jeff. Where's he from?
Jeff's from Lakeland, Florida.
Well, he's in a 12-team half-point PPR dynasty league, second year of the league. We do one draft, including rookies and throwbacks. So he got second. He has the 11th pick, and he needs to get rid of four players here. So pick four to get rid of. Philip Rivers, Mark Sanchez, Jimmy Garoppolo. Can we get rid of Sanchez?
Probably.
Le'Veon Bell, Fred Jackson, Bishop Sankey, Latavius Murray, Ryan Matthews, Monte Ball, Ronnie Hillman, Benny Cunningham, Lorenzo Talaferro, and Trevarius Cadet. Beckham, A.J. Green, Jordan Matthews, Allen Robinson, Greg Jennings. I'll just read some possibilities. Andrew Hawkins, Timothy Wright.
He's got to get rid of four of those guys?
Yes.
He's loaded at receiver. He could definitely cut Baby Hawk.
You cut Wright, you cut Hawkins, you cut Sanchez.
Could you cut Greg Jennings? When are you ever going to use Greg Jennings? I would cut him.
Well,
I would cut Jennings, Hawkins, Wright, and probably Benny Cunningham.
What on earth are you rostering Mark Sanchez for?
No.
Because what if he ends up being the starter in Philadelphia?
Then I'm not. I mean, okay, fine.
I mean, there's a lot of cuttable players here.
Steven from...
A town of Adam's choice.
From Chappaqua, New York.
Nice.
Dear Tyler, Edward, and Maria, I have the last pick in every round. Choose one option. Joik Bell for a sixth rounder, Dwayne Allen for a ninth, C.J. Anderson for an eighth and a ninth rounder. I have currently keeping Eddie Lacy and DeAndre Hopkins. So Joik Bell in the sixth, Dwayne Allen in the ninth, or C.J. Anderson in the eighth and ninth.
I already answered this. He wrote this to me on Twitter also for my mailbag, so I'll let Dave answer this one.
I'm really tempted to throw back the two picks for C.J. Anderson. I think as much as I like Joik Bell, and I think Joik Bell will have a good year, I think C.J. Anderson, provided that he's still the guy in Denver, I would do that. Four picks for three players, but I've got my two top running backs taken care of. I still have DeAndre Hopkins. I still have a first-round pick. I just don't make a pick between rounds 8 and 10. And
Jamie?
Second round, obviously.
Yeah, I said the same thing. I think Anderson's worth it. The one caveat would be is when you have to make this decision, because Joik Bell is not going to come off the field very much. Obvious passing situations, he's coming off the field for theoretic. But he's also still going to catch the ball. Anderson, if Monte Ball and Ronnie Hillman are healthy and show anything in training camp and Anderson stumbles for whatever reason, because it is a new coach and this isn't Gary Kubiak's guy, then he may give those other two guys a little bit more work. Especially Ronnie Hillman on passing situations, because Hillman played pretty well last year.
Eric in Manch, Vegas, New Hampshire. Is that a thing? Is that a place?
By the way, that last one wasn't Maria. It was Marla.
And I think isn't there a Manchester, New Hampshire? That's
Manch,
what he means
Vegas.
By Manch,
oh, okay.
Vegas.
Oh, I said Maria? So yeah. Who are Tyler, Edward, and Marla?
No idea.
Well, here's Eric's email. He says, hello, Reese's, Twix, and Snickers. What's up with all the candy today?
I don't know, but I like it.
Me too. Those are also very good frozen.
Yes.
Oh, frozen
that,
Snickers.
Of course I've had that frozen.
Yeah. All right, 14-team, three receiver league, two running backs, and a flex. Keep two. They're going to count as my first two picks. McCoy, Julio, and Gronk. Three receiver league.
It's a little tricky. First of all, if it's a three receiver league, he wrote us saying 14 teams, three receivers, two running backs, and a... Do tight ends count as wide receivers? There's no specific carve out for a tight end.
No, I don't think so.
You don't have to keep Gronk then because you don't have to start a tight end. That being said, I would keep Gronk and LeSean McCoy, and I would just go crazy on receivers. Make sure I pick a couple of
I kind
of
feel like he just didn't include tight end because he thought it was like
I don't care
to include.
I don't care. You can start Gronk in the flex.
So you're keeping Gronk and who?
I'm throwing back Julio Jones.
Jamie?
The only question I would have is if it's how long-term the keepers are. Because if it's just 1 year, I'd agree with Dave. If it's long-term, I'm throwing back McCoy.
And Wahoo in Charlottesville. Dear Aaron, Matt, and Don, those are University of Virginia NFL quarterbacks.
Matt Schaub.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm blanking on the
others. Aaron and Don. Yeah. I don't know either, dude.
Old school Virginia quarterbacks? Anyway, where should Todd Gurley be drafted in standard leagues?
What team is he on?
Let's take the worst possible scenario. He's
the Patriots.
The worst possible scenario is if he goes to a team that already has an established guy, like,
but like a bad team. He goes to Washington. Washington goes crazy and they take him with the fifth pick. I'm not going to feel good about taking Todd Gurley anytime before maybe round 7, unless they dump Alf, which would hurt me in my heart.
What if he goes to Tennessee in the 2nd round?
Yeah, the one thing that you have to worry about with Gurley is how soon is he going to get on the field? Is he really going to be ready to play right week 1?
Yes. I don't think there's...
Is he going to be able to participate in training camp?
Look, the ACL injury isn't what it used to be. He'll have a full probably, 10 months by the time training camp rolls around?
Is that right? I don't think that's right.
When did he get hurt?
I thought it was like October or November.
Well, if October, that's 10 months.
Yeah.
That is 10 months.
Yeah. Okay, so... Hey, listen, if he's in training camp, then I'd like his chances to start the season.
The teams that are going to be looking at him are Dallas, for sure. Arizona. Both those situations would be very good for his fantasy value.
How about Atlanta?
Atlanta would be very good for his fantasy value.
How about Jacksonville?
Jacksonville would be interesting for his fantasy value, but not great.
How about San Diego?
That'd be good.
How about we end the show?
I got to go floss.
Okay, thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with another fantasy football podcast. Please make sure you listen to our fantasy baseball podcast now. We're going to help you win your baseball league. If you're not in a baseball league, join one, and we'll still help you win. For Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Adam Azer. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye.